From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of April 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Mosaic is reporting a fiscal third quarter profit, and Japanese feed manufacturers have been pricing out feed corn over the past couple of days. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. We'll take a look at the USDA's quarterly grain stocks report with Daryl Good. He says there have been some big surprises in that report. Not only this past one, but 11 of the last 13 reports from USDA. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast as we finish out this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago as they settled up at the CME Group, and these, of course, are closes because the market was sharply lower and trading actively throughout the day. The May contract for the soft red winter wheat at $6.61.5 on its close, down 26.25. The July there, or the harvest month, at $6.68.5, down 22.5. And the hard red in Kansas City at $7.20. finished 12.25 lower. Back in Chicago, corn futures an expanded trade today because of the 40-cent limit being hit on Thursday after the USDA report. Now a 60-cent limit for the trade. And the nearby May contract finished 56.75 cents lower at $6.38.5. July at 6:30 down 46. And September at 5:53.5 down 9.5 cents. December corn at 5:34.25 down 4.25. The March contract at 5:46.5 down a penny and 3/4, and the May futures at 5:48.25 down 7.25 cents. Those are all closes and not settlement prices. May beans on the close at $13.90, down 14.75. July at $13.71, that's finished 14.5 lower. And the August on the close at $13.39.75 in the bean pit, down 7 cents. November beans 3.5 lower at $12.48, and January at $12.58 for next year. Actually, a gain for the day, up a penny and 3/4. Bean meal at $3.98.50, down 6.10, and bean oil at $50.06, a nickel lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the livestock numbers finished like on the afternoon. Nearby April live cattle futures at 128.75, down 15 cents. June at 124.10, 27.5 lower. April feeders at 145.52.5, down $2, or rather up $2.12.5. The May there at 147.67.5, up 260. And April lean hogs today, $81.30, up 70 cents. May futures at $90 even, up 45 cents. In the outside markets, crude oil trading at $97.03 a barrel, down 20 cents. The RBOB gasoline, 8.2 cents lower at $3.10.3. And ethanol for the day at $2.36.1, 9 cents lower. The difference between the two is now 78 cents on the spread. That's 10.3 cents wider than it was on Thursday. Natural gas at $4.02.7, up 0.3 cents. And heating oil or diesel fuel gained 2.9 cents today. And they're trading at $3.07.6. Gold futures at $1,600.40 an ounce, up $5.20. And the U.S. dollar down 0.48 at 82.73 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 42 degrees. Mostly clear this evening, a low of 23. Sunny skies tomorrow and a high of 45. Mostly clear on Tuesday evening, a low of 23. And sunny skies will return on Wednesday, a bit warmer, a high near 50 degrees. The north winds out of the 5 to 7 miles an hour. They'll be light and variable throughout the day. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 31. Thursday, sunny and 55. Thursday night, cloudy and 36. Friday, sunny skies and 58 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy and 39. Saturday, sunny and 64. Saturday night, a low of just 47. On Sunday, chance of rain and partly sunny, a high near 61. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It is the first day of April 2013. This is the closing market report. On the phone line with us to look at the futures markets, Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It has been one of the ugliest 2 days, that's Thursday and today, trading sessions that we've had in a very long time. If you were hoping the price of corn were to stay higher, at least in old crop, it's lost, what, nearly a dollar over those 2 day period.
Yeah, corrected dollar off the highs we saw right prior to the report. Beans, you know, just over 50 cents. Yeah, it's one for the history books. But this is probably one of the biggest market misses on record as far as reports go, and a lot of panicking taking place, especially in the technical side of the equation. The big sellers have been the funds. They sold over 24,000 contracts of corn going into midday. Basically, the red line has gone below the green line, generating a sell signal, and they have to go with it. And so it's been a pretty big washout, especially in corn. Fundamentally, it'd be interesting to hear what your cash green guys say this afternoon on the commercial side of the equation here. We got two type of situations going on here where I think this is going to be a sign of a lot of volatility as we move forward from here, Todd.
Yeah, so your expectation, at least in the old crop, is for the cash market to come back and do the heavy lifting and work through a very short supply of grain, although USDA's numbers suggested there were, what, about 375 million more bushels on hand than at least the trade had expected on Thursday.
Yeah, I think it's a preparation for the next supply-demand balance sheet to come out. There's been quite a bit of commentary on your program where 630 million bushels is just too tight for pipeline supplies. Pipelines closer to, you know, 901 billion bushels. So this would put us back in line, and it's going to be a situation where the feed usage category is going to be tinkered with, which, you know, confirms it's a miscellaneous category.
We'll know more at the end of June when we get the June 1 quarterly grain stocks reports. I suppose it could flip-flop things. Darrell Good later in this program, and if you want to go to the Farm Doc Daily website, you can listen to the whole of his podcast there and read about this. Talks about those quarterly grain stocks reports. 11 of the last 13 have been surprises to the marketplace. That's quite a record, and I don't suppose a very good record.
It depends if it goes in your favor or not.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. So what should producers take away at this point, at least for the old crop and maybe for the new crop as they look forward to pricing some of that out?
Well, I think, you know, from past history in here and the volatility we're seeing, the simple strategy we've been doing, and guys don't want to hear it, is a simple put a price floor in. You know, a simple put option purchase would be feasible. This way, you're not selling in the hole here. If we would see some demand resurface here on this price break, you still have cash green to sell higher down the road, especially if weather would kick in as we get into the growing season. Also, too, we continue to feel that basis is going to remain firm, and so you can capture some additional pennies that way. If the market goes on down, you got some coverage on the downside. Oftentimes, these washouts last, you know, well-publicized 3 days, so we've probably got one more day of some additional liquidation to go, and hopefully the demand side end users will come forward here. Whether it's an ethanol plant, Asia, or a livestock feeder, we'll be looking for them to do something here by midweek and hopefully establish some type of turnaround. As far as new crop goes, you know, it's amazing that whenever the spring price comes out, I've got a few guys call me up right away and say, well, if the market needs to go down about 40, 50 cents, and I've got the insurance will kick in. So, well, we're basically just about right there at those levels there. So I would think that, you know, for those who bought crop insurance, you've got so-called a free put on those insured bases, on those insured acres as of right now. For additional sales, we'll be patient in here and see if we can't see some type of recovery bounce here as we go into the first end of this week, first, second part of next week there, Todd.
It's sad, and we'll hear this in the newscast from Dave Dickey, that at least the Japanese livestock producers are taking advantage of the lower prices on the nearby contracts. Should end users be locking in the United States domestically too?
Well, they pretty well have. A lot of them have already have done that. You know, they've been here in this short crop, hard to gather bushels for over, you know, a year and a half now. And I think they're pretty well covered. But for additional coverage, I think they'll use this break in here to get this July coverage on place, Todd.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on a Monday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Kurt again, of course you can. You can do that online on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. That brand new website's really cool. It will adjust to whichever device you happen to be on, whether that's a computer or a laptop or, oh, I don't know, an iPad or even your phone. It's all at willag.org. If you like our old iPhone version and phone, mobile phone version, smartphone version, you can always still get to that, too. It's at m.willag.org. It's all part of the service here at Illinois Public Medium and willag.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, a couple of other websites you probably ought to visit during the growing season. Many of you are probably already signed up for the bulletin and may have been just a bit confused from the crop scientist that the bulletin was changing and maybe not continuing. It actually is continuing. It's just changing. So if you're already signed up for it, you'll keep getting email. It's at ipm.bulletin.illinois.edu. That's the crop scientist. And they will do blogs there. So rather than on Thursday afternoon, those will be updated as they see fit. The other one is the Farm Doc Daily website. Now here's Dave with today's news.
In agricultural news, Mosaic Company's fiscal third-quarter profit jumped 26% as a fertilizer producer reported increased potash sales volumes and a foreign currency transaction gain. Although potash prices have remained under pressure in recent months, demand has been better than expected, improving market fundamentals. Revenue from Mosaic's potash segment jumped 37% from a year ago. For the quarter ending February 28th, Mosaic posted a profit of $344.6 million, or 81 cents a share, versus a year earlier profit of $273.3 million, or 64 cents a share. Investors are looking ahead to May when Mosaic can begin negotiating with Cargill Incorporated family members who own Mosaic shares as part of a split off of Mosaic in 2011. Restrictions preventing those shares from being sold start to lift in late May, with 43 million shares becoming available. Japanese compound feed manufacturers have priced more than a half a million metric tons of feed corn over the past few days. Taking advantage of the latest decline in prices, Japan, the world's largest corn importer, is seeking around 700,000 tons of feed corn for April to June shipment to complete its purchases for the second quarter while prices are falling. South Korea's animal feed manufacturers are also in the market for corn. They plan to buy around 1.1 million metric tons of corn and 450,000 tons of feed wheat for August-September arrival to take advantage of the fall on the board. An official with a Seoul-based animal feed manufacturing company said there is a plan to buy around 160,000 tons of feed wheat and 55,000 tons of feed corn for July arrival. Health officials say they still don't know how a lesser-known bird flu virus was able to kill two men and seriously sicken a woman in China. The two men from Shanghai became the first known human fatalities from the H7N9 bird flu virus after contracting it in February. Other strains of the H7 family of bird flu viruses have caused mostly mild human infections in the past. Experts say the deaths in China might indicate that the H7N9 strain has morphed to become more lethal to humans. Health authorities are monitoring 88 people who came into contact with the H7N9 patients and have not found any additional infections so far. Experts say that indicates that the chance of human-to-human transmission is low. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can find us online at willag.org. Now, up next, the United States Department of Agriculture's quarterly grain stocks reports have become a source of surprises for many in the marketplace. I'll have more with ag economist Daryl Good.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
USDA keeps track of all kinds of data. It includes how much grain is estimated to be left on hand in the nation. This information is released once a quarter as the Grain Stocks Report. It's been filled with surprises over the past several years, as University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
Dating from March 2010, 11 of the past 13 quarterly stocks estimates have deviated from expectations by enough to generate large price movements.
Well, the grain stocks report released March 28 caused a limit or 40-cent move in the corn market. The U of I's Good says traders form expectations about the grain stocks report based on projected usage and the previous report. That is to say, the trade takes the number from the previous report, subtracts an estimated number of bushels used, and then comes up with a new number. However, the trade has had trouble reconciling the USDA numbers because of the wide swings it has been forecasting in the feed and residual category.
While it should be expected that the market will not always correctly anticipate USDA estimates, the recent pattern of large and seemingly alternating direction of the surprises in the quarterly corn stocks estimates is problematic. One of the results is a pattern of feed and residual use of corn that varies considerably from quarter to quarter and from year to year. That pattern can make it difficult to anticipate future feed and residual use and can result in wide swings in projections of feed use for the marketing year or estimates for the previous year in the case of the September 1 stocks estimate.
Here's an example. USDA estimated 5.4 billion bushels of corn were on hand in the United States as of the 1st of March this year, 2013. The average trade guess was about 370 million bushels, less than that number. It's one of the largest gaps in recent years and caused the price of old crop corn to plummet. The dilemma now, says Daryl Good, is what to expect in the next stocks report. It will be released in June.
The implied rate of feed and residual use of corn in the first half of the 2012 marketing year is quite low. The slow rate of feed and residual use does not seem consistent with livestock numbers, the sharp reduction in the production of distiller's grain, and the implied negative feed use of wheat during the same 6 months. Experiences over the past 3 years suggest that the June corn stocks estimate may, quote, correct for some of these apparent inconsistencies. If that turns out to be the case, the magnitude of the current price weakness may not be justified.
You may read Daryl Good's thoughts on the grain stocks report online at the Farm Doc Daily website. That's www.farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Let's check out what's been happening in the cash grain markets. Greg Johnson of the Andersons is on the phone line from right here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd. Well, I'm doing better than the markets, but that's not saying much.
Well, tell me how this impacts trade and what happens there at the elevators and those sorts of things, please.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are in shock. I mean, just it's hard to fathom how the trade could be off that much. But as you were just talking about, you know, there's several possibilities out there. And unfortunately, these are the numbers we have to work with until the next quarterly stocks report. So this is what we've got for the next 3 months, and I guess we just have to deal with it.
Many are thinking that basis will have to do the heavy lifting in this case on a very short supply of corn, although maybe USDA numbers are right.
that's not
the case. So
exactly. If there's really another 400 million bushels out there, then the corn should be plentiful. But all I can say is if there is an extra 400 million out there, it's certainly not in central Illinois.
You don't know where it is, do you?
No.
it's hiding someplace.
Yeah.
So did you see a jump in basis over the last couple of days or not?
No, because the farmers and the elevators were moving corn ahead of the report to some extent. Not a lot, but you know, the market had gone up 3 weeks in a row prior to the report, so there was some corn moving from the farmers and from the country elevators. So it'll take a little while, I would guess a week to 10 days, before that supply kind of works its way through the system, and then I expect basis levels to get better. We didn't see an immediate bump up in basis levels today at the rail market, but I think that's probably just a matter of time, you know, a week to 10 days, and we'll start to see that increase in basis.
Unusually, the grain stocks report toyed with the soybeans pretty significantly as well.
Yes. Yeah, I think the beans were more of a follower. I mean, there wasn't as much negative news there. You know, I think everybody realizes that, you know, the government can say what they want, whether it's 100 or 150 million. That's still a tight number, relatively speaking. But when wheat and corn go down as much as they do, the beans didn't have much choice but to follow suit.
I suppose we'll get some kind of reconciliation with the WASD report in the month of April.
Yeah, I just kind of wish that they, you know, with all the early harvesting taking place in August, that I don't know why we can't just change our marketing year calendar to start August 1 instead of SEP 1. I think that would solve a lot of problems about whether we're counting new crop harvested bushels as old crop or new crop corn. I mean, I know, you know, there's something to be said for consistency, but when, you know, the dynamics change in the markets like they have, I think it would certainly be warranted to look at maybe starting August 1 instead of SEP 1.
There may be a big call for that. It's been rumored and pushed and touted for a couple, 2 or 3 years, but this keeps up, and eventually somebody will have to make a decision in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, this is 4 years in a row that March quarterly stocks report has been off 300 to 400 million bushels from what the average trade guess was. Some years it's in the farmer's favor, some years it's not. This year it obviously wasn't, but we shouldn't be off that much. I mean, there's just no reason to be off that much. Something's got to be happening to account for that, and I just soon get it right rather than, you know, have to roll the dice and hope you're on the right side of the market.
Well, let's get it right. What are your bids for the day?
All right. Old crop corn is 671, new crop corn 520, old crop soybeans 1412, new beans 1228, and new crop wheat 649.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. I'll be back in just 2 minutes. We'll talk about the weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They're in Chicago, Illinois.
It's April Fool's Day. Among the great pranks, in 1957, the BBC TV show Panorama showed the Swiss harvesting spaghetti from trees. Evidently, the dreaded spaghetti weevil had been eradicated, making for a bountiful harvest. And in 1998, Burger King ran an ad in USA Today introducing the left-handed Whopper, the condiment stripped out only on the right side. Customers requested not only the new left-handed burgers, but also the old right-handed model as well. On this day in agricultural history in 1582, France adopted the new Gregorian calendar. Prior to that, the new year was celebrated in France on April 1st. In 1875, Sir Francis Galton published the first newspaper weather map in the Times, London, England. In 1893, the first dishwashing machine became an award-winning success at the Columbian Exposition. The model was originally patented by Josephine Cochran, whose company eventually evolved into KitchenAid. In 1911, Seaman Ashel Knapp died, an American agriculturalist. He began the system which evolved into the U.S. Cooperative Extension Service. He introduced improved methods of farming into Louisiana, spurred the development of rice culture in the Southwest, demonstrated methods for curbing the boll weevil in Texas, and inaugurated a federal program of farm demonstrations throughout the South. And in 1960, Tyros-1, the first weather observation satellite, was launched from Cape Kennedy. It sent the first television pictures back from outer space. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's a Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. John Davis is on the phone line from Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Okay, so we've had a really rough couple of days. We need something to move the market higher. It's going to be a really late start to the growing season and wet, right?
I wouldn't go that direction. So,
freeze more stuff off? I don't know.
Well, I tell you, the way it's looking is that you kind of our long-awaited pattern break that we've been expecting sometime in April, we have very definitive signs that that is going to happen the second week of April. So this week is going to continue the same trends of cold temperatures across much of the nation's midsection. But once we get into week two of April, a major warm-up on tap across much of the central and eastern sections of the country. And at least a lot of areas are not going to get excessive moisture, such as the eastern Midwest, the Delta, the southern Midwest. It will be quite wet in the western Midwest and the Plains region, but at least for the winter wheat there, they need that. So that's a good thing for them as well.
In the eastern Midwest, we need the soil temperatures to jump up, so we need pretty high highs during the day, but even more importantly, the lows at night need to be fairly high too. What's that look like?
Well, you can have a major warm-up here next week. So after the next 4 or 5 days, which will continue the cold of March, then you're going to have a major turnaround in temperatures, and that's going to begin over the weekend and then accelerate as we go into next week. So, again, much warmer temperatures. And you're not just going to normal-type levels across, you know, the middle of the Midwest. You're going to above-normal temperatures, actually significantly so. So an abrupt turnaround in the overall pattern here. And so much warmer weather coming in. Now, again, will mean a big boost in soil temperatures here across pretty much all sections of the Midwest.
Your assessment of soil moisture conditions across the Corn Belt?
Overall, I think you have to look at it two ways, Todd. Topsoil moisture levels have improved markedly with the wetness that we've had in most areas over the last 4 or 6 weeks. From a subsoil moisture standpoint and some of the deficits which we accumulated last year, we still have a lot of deficits to make up, especially across the western portion of the Corn Belt. Now, we're certainly going in the right direction with the pattern that we've had, but we need many, many more months of those kind of abundant precipitation to make up the subsoil moisture deficit. So I think you have to look at that from a topsoil moisture standpoint and a subsoil moisture standpoint.
From the subsoil moisture standpoint, that's not a problem as long as we continue to get the rains, right? Because eventually it will come back.
Oh, exactly. And it's certainly a lot better now than it was at the end of last growing season. There's no question about that. But you don't make it up in a couple of months, and we didn't accumulate it in a couple of months here last year, too. but it certainly looks like you're going in the right direction. And the overall wet pattern here, especially upcoming, it's going to be wetter in the western Midwest than it is in the eastern Midwest, which is where the deficits are greater.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mm-hmm. John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for a Monday afternoon. You can hear him again, or anytime you'd like, in fact, on our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.